2 weeks ago, Katie Moore was enjoying a romantic weekend away at a hotel in the Cotswolds with her boyfriend James. On the Sunday morning, Valentine's Day, James had arranged for room service to deliver breakfast in bed, a bottle of champagne, and the Sunday papers. Whilst sipping her champagne, Katie picked up a copy of the Observer magazine, only to see a picture of James on the front cover, down on one knee, diamond ring held aloft, with the caption, "Will you marry me, Katie?" emblazoned on the cover. Initially, she thought that he'd had the cover specially printed, only to discover that it really was the front cover of the Observer magazine. If you read it, you'll have seen it. And a million readers were waiting on tenterhooks to see if Katie was going to say yes. She did say yes, reassuringly. Grand gestures of love seem to be increasingly common. The internet abounds with videos of flash mobs, fancy meals, songs and surprises, all designed as a declaration of love. In fact, I feel rather cheated now that when my husband proposed, he simply said, "Will you marry me?" No flash mob, no hundreds of people gathered and special video that went viral on YouTube. Never mind. At the heart of this morning's Bible reading that we've just heard, there is one simple message from Jesus to his people. And it's this: you've forgotten your first love. All those things you used to do to declare your love for God, all those grand gestures, have become a thing of the past. Let's take a step back for a moment. This message is one of seven messages in the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible. And it's a message, as Roz read, from the church, from Jesus to the church in Ephesus. Seven messages go to seven different churches. And if you read the message, it reads rather like a school report or perhaps an annual review at work. At the start of the message, Jesus tells them what they're doing well. He commends them for their hard work and for all the things they've been doing for God. They were a church full of activists. They've persevered in spite of being under pressure, and they've stayed faithful to God, even when people have tried to persuade them to think and act differently. Much like in a school report or an annual review, there are lots of things that they're doing well, but there is one area that they really need to work on. And here's what he says. "Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you've fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first." Throughout the Bible, the relationship between God and his people is described as being like the relationship between a bride and a groom. That image is used because it's an image of love, the idea being that God loves us and he hopes we will reciprocate, that we'll love him in return. So what Jesus is saying to the Christians in Ephesus is that their relationship with him is like a marriage that's lost its passion. It's all become rather routine. The spark has gone. If you're not comfortable with that image of marriage, and some people won't be, then perhaps think of it as someone who's been passionate about a job. They always did that job for love, not money. But over time, the passion wears off and it becomes just a job. And they end up doing it for the money and not the love. These words were, of course, written to a specific church in a particular place at a particular time. So they reflect what was happening in that church, the issues that were there for them. But these words can still speak to us, corporately and individually. At the time at which this message was given to the church was probably 50 years old, and yet already their love for God was beginning to wane. Faithful in some ways, but sort of the heart had gone out of it. Over the last few weeks, you'll have perhaps seen that the Church of England has been in the news headlines with dire predictions about what the future holds for the church. The Independent newspaper described the Church of England as slowly dying, with congregations expected to halve over the next 30 years. I wonder if Jesus' words to the church in Ephesus are just as relevant to the church in England. "You've forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you've fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. It's a way of saying, put some passion back into your relationship with God. Rediscover that spiritual spark. Make a grand gesture of love like you used to. I wonder how the Church of England's reputation might change if we did what Jesus says. I don't really think the Church of England is renowned for being a desperately passionate place, sort of mildly respectable and quite self-contained. But I wonder, when people come to our church, we've got guests here this morning, are we people who look like we love God? Do we look like we're spiritually alive and that we have a spiritual spark at the centre of our lives? As well as being a message to the whole church, this message also challenges us as individuals. It makes us ask, how is our relationship with God? Many of us work hard doing things for God. We do want to be good people and live good lives. But do we still love God? Is that a language we would use to describe the way we feel about God? Is it a good marriage, to borrow that image from the Bible? Or actually, we found ourselves over the years sort of drifting apart from God. To all intents and purposes, we're still together, but we're not as close as we once were. If you prefer the job analogy, then the question is, do you still love what you do as a Christian? Or are you biding your time till you retire? The advice that Jesus gives to the Ephesian church is to repent, as in turn around, live differently, and do the things you did at first. I suppose it's a way of saying, remember how we got together. Remember what we had together. This passage in Revelation isn't the only message that's given to the Ephesian church. Earlier on in the New Testament, there's a whole letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Ephesus. And this is one of the things that Paul, the writer of that letter, says. He says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. For me, remembering your first love isn't about doing yet more things for God as proof of our love. It's about remembering again how much God in Christ loves us, how much God loves you. I love that verse from Ephesians about grasping how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, because it makes the love of Christ sound enormous, of epic proportions. It's almost as if Paul's praying, help them to get their heads around how massive this love is, how much I love them. I started out a few minutes ago talking about Katie Moore and her boyfriend James proposing on the cover of the Observer magazine. You see, when it comes to it, it isn't us who make grand gestures of love for God. It's actually Jesus who makes grand gestures of love. When Jesus allowed himself to be crucified, it's almost as if he was the one who was going down on one knee. He was the one making himself vulnerable by holding the ring aloft and declaring his love for us. That's what the cross is. A declaration of love and an invitation for us to receive that love and to respond to it. Jesus urges the Ephesians, repent and do the things you did at first. Or to put it another way, it's like Jesus is asking us, say yes. Please say yes. And it might be that we've been a Christian for 50 years, but we think, actually, I do feel like the spark has gone and I'm just going through the motions of faith, but it doesn't feel like I've got that passion anymore. Or it might be that perhaps we're just discovering for the first time that we are loved by God. Either way, Jesus says, will you say yes to me? Will you accept my love? Will you receive it? Will you reciprocate? A million readers were on tenterhooks waiting to see if Katie would say yes. And I think Jesus is on tenterhooks waiting for our answer. Will we say yes to him? Amen.